You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Welcome to Thursday, April the 9th, 2009, here at The Kevin Smith Show. You may be on the other side of the world, in which case it is already April 10th. But wherever you are, and whoever you are, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Some of you are listening for the first time. Welcome to you as well, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into. We've got some new designs on our coffee mugs, and as well as on some T-shirts and ball caps and some other items. I told you the new designs were coming. They're here. And so be sure that on my website, you click where it says visit our online store. Click that, and you can see some of the designs. You see only one T-shirt. That one T-shirt has something on the front and the back. All the others are just on the front, right here above the pocket area. But anyway, you'll get to you can click that and you'll get to see some of those. And you want to stock up on them. I'm telling you, high fashion demands that you wear Kevin Smith Show T-shirts and ball caps and things like that. You know, if you got any weddings coming up or christenings or whatever, you want to be sure you got your Kevin Smith Show ball cap for that. The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter. And I answer as many of your questions as I can. I cover as many of them as I can in the K-Files e-zine. And we also publish emails that we get from some of the emails that we get from listeners. And it's just a great way to stay up to date on what's happening with the show and get the inside information, the inside scoop of what's going on. So if you haven't signed up for it, you need to do that. It's absolutely free. I don't know how to make it easier for you. It's free, and there are no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you desire to unsubscribe, and it takes maybe 10 seconds to subscribe. It's really that easy. So if you're not a subscriber, go over to KevinSmithShow.com. You'll see it in red letters. There's a little button that says K-Files e-zine. Click that, subscribe, and you're in. The members area. I've gotten a couple of emails from new listeners who are saying, well, what's in it? Well, if you go to my website and click where it says become a member, it will take you to a page where you can see what's in the members area, and we've got something new coming. We are going to begin, now this is not going to be every show, but we're going to begin offering some of the video feeds as iPod downloads. Okay, so you'll be able to get some of the show's videos as iPods, and that will be in the members area. I've done a little survey. I've asked people to tell me what they thought about it. We'll give it a try. We'll see how it goes. But remember that what we've already got is fairly massive, and we've got to make sure we keep that all up to date. But we'll try to do some of the videos on iPod. That'll be coming up in the next week or so. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'll tell you what, we've got some really hot stuff to talk about tonight, and I am pretty excited about this. I need to tell you that the music you hear on the show is from GarageBand.com or from Music.Podshow.com. And I thank both of those excellent services for providing the music of independent artists for us to use on the show. And you can go over there and load up your iPod. Most of it's free. All right. Also, I want to deal with this email I got today. I got this email at 4:43 p.m. our time. It's from the United Kingdom. Richard writes, Kevin, go to NASA TV now! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. UFO keeps showing up on the webcam by the ISS. That's the International Space Station. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Well, I didn't see this until about 4:50 p.m. So at 4:50 p.m., I did indeed go over to the NASA website. And I tried to open up the live TV feed that they have from the International Space Station looking down on Earth. It was blocked. Now, I don't know if it was blocked for everyone, but mine was blocked. They NASA may at this point be saying, block that Smith guy. Well, he doesn't need to get a hold of this. So I tried, Richard. I tried, but it was blocked. The page would open, but the viewer would not open. It tried to open and then shut right down and it was blocked. So I didn't get to see it. I would love to see it, and I hope someone out there captured that video. I hope someone out there will, if they captured it, send it to me so I can see what you were talking about. I tried. Well, folks, I am pleased to announce tonight that this show apparently has sent shockwaves through the hoaxer community. You know, we often talk here about the UFO community or about the paranormal community, and we're talking about the folks who are enthusiasts about UFOs, interested in it, research it, like to listen to shows about it, read books about it, but not necessarily believers. Some are. I caution against believing, but you know, you've heard what I say. For those of you who are new, you need to know I don't believe in UFOs, nor do I believe in doorknobs, Volkswagens, beer cans, or Coca-Cola. Either they exist or they don't. It's just that simple. And there's nothing to believe. If the evidence says they exist, and that's it. Well, apparently, I have sent shockwaves through the hoaxer community, and I have gotten in the email since those two shows that I did last week. You remember those shows where I did two shows on that hoax of UFOs in Morristown, New Jersey. And it's gone, that story about the hoax has gone all over the world. I mean, it's being reported by newspapers everywhere. Of course, they're not reporting my dealing with the evidence. But I've gotten in email, I've gotten two articles this week that dealt with what I had to say on those two shows. And it was interesting to me that both of those articles absolutely, not even sort of, but absolutely missed the point. And I think conveniently so. The point was this. If you take the evidence that they offered for this hoax, you take the evidence, and then you take the, as a template, take the standards of evidence that hoaxers demand of UFO evidence, lay that down as a template on their evidence, and their evidence falls apart. Now, that I said over and over, maybe they did hoax it. I'm not saying they didn't. What I'm saying is, number one, the evidence they offer to prove that they hoaxed it isn't proof, and it doesn't stand the pressure of the standards of evidence that are applied to UFO sightings. And I think, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I'm not saying you shouldn't apply those standards to UFO sightings. I think a very high level of evidence, a very high standard of evidence, must be applied to UFO sightings, to ghost sightings, or to any claims of the paranormal, any of that. You have to apply very high standards. And if you don't apply those very high standards, then you're not really involved in research and investigation and trying to find the truth. So I think you should apply those standards. And I don't mind if the skeptics want to apply those standards. They should be applied. But when we apply those same standards to the evidence they offered up, their evidence falls apart. And the two shows that I did had to do with the evidence and the shoddy reporting that just assume these guys are now telling the truth. Maybe they are. That's not the point. The point is the evidence and the shoddy reporting. And then I did another show where I had a bona fide counterintelligence expert as my guest, and I examined the whole scenario with that guest, with Walter Bosley, and ask questions about, does this look like it's got the fingerprints of a disinfo op on it? And his answer was yes. And then he talked about why, what he saw in it that to him made it look like this was a disinformation operation and that it was being orchestrated by someone behind the scenes. All right. In that same show, I presented my case for why their evidence would not stand up in court. And that is pretty much the standard that they apply, the skeptics and the debunkers. That's pretty much the evidence that they apply to UFO evidence, UFO sighting evidence, UFO reports. And that's fine. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's fair for the UFO community is fair for the hoaxer community. And when we applied those standards to their evidence, I said it wouldn't stand up in court. And we had a judge who called in and said that was right. That was correct. Well, apparently, this has sent shockwaves through the hoaxer community because they expected, I'm speculating here, but I know how this works. I think they expected that what would happen is they would put out the story and the evidence of the hoax, and people would just buy it, and they would just laugh like hyenas at the UFO community. Well, some people did. And as a result, by the way, as a result of me seeing this happening over and over and over with increasing frequency in the last few months, that's what's behind the T-shirt design that's on my site. So you might want to take a look at that. It has something to do with an ostrich and his head in the sand. And if your head is in the sand, what does that leave in the air? But you go take a look at that. But apparently, this has sent shockwaves, because I didn't buy the evidence, and I don't buy the evidence until, I don't dismiss it, but I don't buy it until very critical questions are answered. Now, the story now is the shockwave. Okay, the shockwave is, uh-oh, somebody didn't buy this, and it's someone with a microphone, and it's someone that talks to people all over the world, and he did two shows on this, and oops, we've been caught with our pants down. Now, I have evidence of that, and I'm certainly going to share that with you. But I want to point out again and underscore again for the jello-brained among the hoaxers who want to go say that I said something I didn't say. I don't mind if you quote me. Just do it right, okay? I did not say that it was not a hoax. I referred to their so-called evidence of a hoax. I did not refer to the so-called hoax. I referred to the so-called evidence of the hoax. The evidence is nothing. The evidence is absolutely nothing. I don't dismiss the story, and I don't dismiss the evidence. But it's nothing. It's there, it's in play, but it's nothing. It has no weight until those critical questions that I asked are answered. Now, one of our listeners, in fact, many of our listeners are scientists. I trust you know that. Some of the scientists that I've had on this show were guests on this show because they were first listeners, and they liked what they heard, and they wanted to be a part of it, and they offered themselves as possible guests. So I hope you understand that many of our listeners are scientists. And one of our listeners, who is a scientist attached to a major university, sent me this email. And I printed it out, and it's pretty long. It's four pages printed out here. And what this is an exchange between him and the e-skeptic. The e-skeptic, the folks over at e-skeptic, are the ones who brought forward all this evidence of the hoax. And that is the evidence that I applied those evidentiary standards to, and we watched it crumble and fall. It doesn't stand the test. Again, it may be that this is the story of the hoax, may all be true. And the evidence that they offer may be genuine, but when the standards of evidence that are used to examine UFO reports and sightings, when those are applied to their evidence, shall we say, it leaves their arse in the breeze. And so this scientist decided that he would get in touch with the folks at eSkeptic and pose those questions that I asked in the show, and a question or two of his own. It is absolutely astounding whenever you know their response, and you will know their response. I will begin with his, and I'm going to withhold his name. And look, if he tells me that I can use his name publicly, I will. I do have this email. It's legit. I have his name, and I have name of the university. It's all part of the email, but I don't have his permission to broadcast his name here tonight. If he gives me that permission, I certainly will pass it on to you. He says to them, I am involved in the chemistry program at, and he names the university, and have followed with great interest this latest hoax. Just a couple of quick points that no one in the news organizations has pointed out. Number one, why wait so long to show the video? Number two, where are the time and date stamps on the video? Number three, in the video, when one of the gentlemen calls in the UFOs to the TV station, has anyone at the station verified that this call was made? Number four, where is the smoke in the original UFO video taken by others? Also, where is the slag that falls burning from the typical road flare? Number five, why didn't the flares burn through the fishing line? And also, how did the triangle remain stable with only fishing line holding it together? Then he goes on, I would be very interested in the answers to these questions, and I know others would also. Lastly, what's the point? Let me explain by example. Suppose I wanted to obtain pain drugs or to make a false insurance claim. I could easily read a physician's desk reference about a certain condition and then go to the doctor and hoax him or her into the belief that I have a certain condition. The fact that I can hoax a doctor does not negate the idea that Western medicine works and is valid. The same is true about the hoaxers who can fool a UFO researcher. This does not negate the idea that UFOs are real, or are a real occurrence. It only shows that even the experts can be fooled. I could even fool the folks at SETI into believing they have been contacted by alien civilizations. This does not prove that SETI scientists are making things up or are not doing real science. So what's the point? No one, as far as I know, has asked these questions. Thanks for your article. Cheers. And then he signs his name. Well, one would expect, wouldn't one, that with all these details, I mean, five questions listed, you know, one, with numbers beside them, one, two, three, four, five, and then the last paragraph of a question, what's the point? It doesn't prove anything except that you can fool even the experts. You can fool a doctor. And we know that happens every day. And I think that is a very good point that he made, an excellent point. So one would expect that these guys at eSkeptic would address each of those points and answer the questions. One would expect that we would next read a detailed explanation behind why they have done what they did with this hoax. Well, what would you suspect their answer is? In their reply, they did not even address the 5 points. We have a break coming up, and I'm going to read their reply to you when we come back from this break. What do you think they replied? Welcome back. We're talking about this email sent by one of our listeners who is a scientist at a major university, and he sent it to the eSkeptic people, and listed five specific things that he would like for them to answer. And they are all legitimate questions, all of them. And then a sixth question that he asked, and he explained by example, was, what's the point? It proves nothing except that you can fool even the experts. You can fool a doctor. Does that prove that Western medicine is no good? You can fool scientists. You can fool anybody. It doesn't discredit or disprove anything. And so all very good questions. And I asked the question, what do you think their response was? They didn't address a single one of his questions. Here it is. Are you ready? They pulled one thing that he used as an example when he was saying, you know, I could fool a doctor, I could fool the scientist at SETI. They pulled that one thing about SETI out. Did not address a single question that he asked. And here's what they said. They quoted him. I could even fool the folks at SETI into believing they have been contacted by alien civilizations. Then they ask a question. The SETI people are pretty savvy. How would you go about doing that? That's their response. Do you know what you have to do when confronted with the facts and your back is against the wall? You either have to tell the truth or run for cover. Look, all I can do is report to you their response. You have to make up your own mind as to what you think that means. Now, there's more here. All right, he goes on to explain, our listener replies back to them and explains a way that he thinks, he said, I really haven't thought about this, but maybe you could do it this way or this way or this way. They write back from the skeptic, and here's their reply. Our SETI guy, who taught engineering at Caltech, replies, and then they quote him, most scientists don't expect to be hoaxed and are unprepared when it happens. SETI people, however, know that there's a long history of UFO hoaxes, so they expect to be hoaxed. They have given some thought to how someone might hoax them. If they ever do receive a signal that seems to come from ETs, there are tests that they will do to make sure it isn't a hoax. One of the standard tests that is planned is to contact other observatories around the world, give them the coordinates and frequency of the supposed signal, and ask them to confirm it. The tethered balloon, and what he had described, what our listener had described, is tethering a balloon and having it in a reflective coating and bouncing the signal off of that or whatever. Well, the tethered balloon would quickly fail the test. Only the local observatory would see the signal. SETI people would never announce a discovery in that case. That's their response to those questions. I told you that there's something fishy here. Maybe the hoax is a real hoax. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not calling it into question. What I'm calling into question is, first of all, the evidence that they present. Why should we believe that evidence? Why should we? I mean, when we use the same standards to look at their evidence that they use to look at UFO evidence, when we do that, their case falls apart. So why should we believe their evidence? They use those standards to show people why those people should not believe evidence of UFO reality. So if we use those same standards and their case falls apart, then why should we believe it? Why should we give them and the media a pass on this? Now look, it works like this, boys, those of you in the UFO hoaxer community. It works like this. You want to play the game? Welcome to the major leagues. Belly up to the bar and let's see some real evidence. I'm willing to believe your hoax story. I'm willing to buy your hoax story when I see the evidence. But like I said, welcome to the major leagues. Belly up to the bar. Play ball. It is major league. And you haven't done it. You haven't done it. Can you believe this response? I mean, I'm flabbergasted. Really, I am. I would have expected that when a scientist writes to them, introduces himself as a scientist, tells them what university he's with, and asks five really simple questions, I would expect they would answer at least one. I mean, here's an easy one. Why wait so long to show the video? Why? I see, the answer to that question and the answer are in play in my scenario where I said this thing smells and looks like it's being orchestrated, like it's a disinformation operation. Because they didn't come out with these videos and the ha-ha story until after these sightings had been shown and talked about on UFO Hunters on TV. And after that aired, the story of the Morristown UFO sightings began to get some legs. It began to get some traction. Bang, here comes this story. And here come these videos. Now, if it's not part of a disinformation operation, then we ought to be able to get an answer to, why did you wait so long to come out with this? Why? Why did you wait until after the story started really getting some traction, after it got some TV coverage? Why? And there ought to be a good explanation. I can think of some, but I'm not going to give them to you here on the air because I'm not going to provide them with their thinking points. Right at this moment, they're caught with their pants down. Right at this moment, their arse is in the breeze. Right at this moment, it's because they hadn't thought anyone with a brain would challenge this brainless evidence. Now, there, I think, probably are some pretty good explanations. I'd like to hear them. I'm serious about that. I'm not saying that this hoax didn't happen. I'm saying this evidence doesn't hold water. This evidence does not stand up to the pressure of the standards of evidence that you would have to have if you went into court. It doesn't stand up to the standards of evidence that you would have to have if this was a UFO report as opposed to a hoax report. In other words, it just doesn't stand. It's made of saltine crackers, and when the weight of the test is applied, it's like hitting saltine crackers with a sledgehammer. So that's a pretty easy question to answer. Why did you wait so long? And why aren't there any date and time stamps on that video? Don't you think that's an easy one to answer? Why don't you answer it? You didn't answer a single question this scientist asked. Why? Now, you see, by doing this, maybe you're not running for cover. But you have given every appearance of running for cover here. Now, I didn't do that. You did that. And I, you know, you can attack me as two of these articles did. That's fine. You can attack me. You can say snide and nasty things about me. And that doesn't do anything. It still doesn't answer the question, does it? Now, I think it's incumbent upon you who put the story out to answer the questions about the story. In the video, we hear one of the hoaxers, we hear him allegedly calling a TV station, allegedly reporting allegedly reporting these UFOs in the sky. It's a hoax call. Now, he's on a cell phone. I do not personally carry a cell phone. I own one, but it hasn't been on in 3 years. I just don't do cell phones for a lot of reasons. But I know that on a cell phone, you can push a button and it becomes a speakerphone. So why, when he calls this TV station, does he not push the button and make it a speakerphone? We don't hear the TV station people. I think that's a good question. And apparently, our scientist friend thought so too. And he asked, well, what's the answer to this, skeptics? Why didn't you answer that question? Why didn't you answer any of these questions? Why did you duck and run? Now, again, that's my characterization of it. Maybe you didn't duck and run. Maybe you're just not used to critical thinking. And when confronted with critical thinking by a scientist, it scared you. You didn't know what to do. You were confused. Maybe that was the case. I don't know. I have no idea what went through your mind. I know what didn't go through your mind. What didn't go through your mind was the answer to these questions. And you have deepened the mystery thereby. Not I, but you. Now, we would like to have answers to these questions. One of the problems that you have, though, and you know this, if you fabricate answers, and I'm not saying that you would, but if you fabricate answers, the same critical analysis is going to be applied to the answers, and if they're fabricated, they will be shown to be so. Maybe that's why you didn't answer. I don't know. I'm speculating. It's hypothetical. I don't know why you didn't answer. Like I said, the only thing I do know is that you didn't answer, and I have your not answering right here. How about this one? What about the smoke, boys? We can see it in your video, but we don't see smoke in any of the videos of those alleged UFOs. Now, I'm not buying that they're UFOs, and I'm not buying that it was your balloons. I'm saying the evidence is in play and yours is crumbling. Where's the smoke in the sky if those were your flares up there? Because we see in your videos the immense amount of smoke that road flares put out. We know that. Where's the smoke in the sky? It's not there. So, I mean, how about an answer to that? Or that fishing line thing, why didn't the fishing line burn? I mean, maybe you have a way to keep it from burning. Would like to hear it. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion of this blazing black hole. Can you have a blazing black hole in space? A black hole is supposed to be invisible. Well, the answers are apparently in a black hole, and we're not going to get them, apparently. And but I really would like to engage you in this discussion. Now that you have seen the further evidence of what I've been talking about, you know, and by the way, I'm going to take out the name of the email writer and the name of the university, unless he gives me permission to use it, and I'm going to print this whole thing in the K-Files e-zine this week. I want you to see it, okay? And I want you to think about it. I want you to really put your mind to this and ask yourself, why does this guy absolutely dodge 100% of the issues and questions raised? Absolutely dodges it, ignores it, doesn't address it at all. But what do you think about this now that you have this information? We're going to go open line, and we'll be using this number tonight, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or our toll-free number, which is, of course, 888-223-4599. And also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going over to kevinsmithshow.com. When you get over to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down and you will see there a link that says flash message, okay? All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there. A beautiful picture on the TV channel, by the way.
Thank you. He has not seen me in 3.5 years, and he's getting to watch me tonight. So I wanted him to see I was watching him, too.
He's the little fellow that's pointing at you on the during the TV ads, isn't he?
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, I forgot that. I recognize him. Oh, boy. What else do you expect from debunkers? Like, these people have been at this for 60 years now, and they still think people are stupid enough to buy into their ridiculous hoaxes and theories.
Well, and they're but look, let's be fair about this, okay? Mm-hmm. If they wish to apply very high standards to the evidence offered up for UFOs, okay, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. Applying high standards of evidence is a good thing. I just think that it's a two-way street, and when we apply those same standards to this stuff, it falls apart. And when a scientist writes to them and says, okay, what about this? Mm-hmm. They don't even address it.
Yeah, well, and also, judging by the story that I've been hearing, it seems that, you see, it's one thing, having very little evidence. Another thing is outright lying. And that's what I think these two hoaxes have been doing all along, because you put out the evidence yourself. Like, I'm not going to be as nice as you are here. I think these guys have been outright lying, and people have been, and the mainstream media has been soaking it up.
Why do you think they're lying? I mean, what makes you think they are lying?
Well, it's trying to, the fishing line trying to hoax it with fishing line, and there's a whole bunch of other things about this this whole fiasco that tells me that not only did they not hoax anything, I think they've flat-out lied about it, and the skeptics were buying it. The skeptics finally found something to get a hold on, or at least try to use something to beat us over the head with, and it never works anyway.
Well, if they were lying about it, they got jail time. And, I find it, if these guys are not part, if they are not wittingly, knowingly part of a disinformation operation, and I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying if they're not, and if they lied, man, what idiots. They got jail time and community service and a fine.
Oh, the debunkers have been at this for decades, Kev, and honestly, it doesn't surprise me anymore, really. Every time there's a big UFO sightings, or every time there's something that makes the news with UFOs or whatnot, these people always, the mainstream media always goes out, always takes the skeptic side of things, and no matter, even if the hoax and the skeptical explanation is totally outrageous, they tend to accept that instead of the extraterrestrial hypothesis when it comes to the UFOs.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying, though, about they put, if let's say that they are not part of a disinformation operation, at least not knowingly, okay? But let's say, hypothetically, that this whole thing is a lie. This is really stupid to do this, to lie about having done the hoax, because in so doing, they now have a criminal record. Misdemeanor, yes, but it's still a criminal record.
Well, there's been a lot. There's been a lot more effect, a lot more credible disinformation scams out there. Like, I think much of about 95% of Project Serpo is disinformation. I think I strongly think that there was a program. That's from information that I got from. Let's just say some inside sources. You know who I'm talking about. But I think Serpo did happen. But, well, I don't think it was called Project Serpo, but I think there was a program similar to it. And the disinformation that came out was just to throw people off track. Mind you, there's always a kernel of truth with every myth and every piece of stuff like that, but I think that something did happen with that. And but if this was a disinformation campaign, it was very poorly done. I've seen a lot better jobs than that.
Yeah. However, if you were running a disinformation campaign and if you were not a pro at it, even if you were a pro but kind of a rookie, you might be a little sloppy like this. But one of the ways that you could nail down that this is real is to have your operatives draw jail time. So that's all hypothetical, you know, and so again, the jello brains on the hoaxer side that are listening to the show will probably take that and run with it and say that that's what I believe. But I would bet you everything that I own, which is not much, but I would bet it all that no one in this audience knows what I believe.
Well, you know these people that got their head in the sand and their rear sticking up. But let me tell you, I'm fixing to throw a couple of field goal kicks, if you know what I mean.
Well, good luck. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Are you a little bit amazed here, a little bit astounded, that when given the opportunity to answer the questions of a scientist about their hoax, they answered zero? When given the opportunity to explain, they decided to dodge the whole issue. Are you a little astounded? Well, maybe you're not astounded. If you're not astounded, you ought to be a little bit disgusted and a little bit angry. Because I don't know why they chose not to answer a single question. I don't know. But if it is a duck and cover drill, if it's running for the hills, if that's what it is, then that means that they have hoaxed information and got the media to believe it. And so it's not the UFO researchers that were hoaxed, but the media that got hoaxed. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name. Well, that one hung up. All right, we'll clear the line, and I hope that one calls back. That was from the UK. Anyway, give us a call at 623-444-5889 or our toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And let me say to our caller that I just missed. That was my fault. I have a tiny, tiny, tiny little blue light that flashes down on this panel that shows me when you call. And the tiny little blue light is about the size of the point of that pin. And if I'm not looking right at it, I don't see it. And I was looking up here. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thank you for having Dean Haglund on last night. It's he's just a really cool guy. So I just want to thank you for having him on last night. I was glad I could chat with him.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Debbie, we had to cut you off because the break took over. I apologize for that, but
you got to pay the bill.
You got the floor.
I don't know. It is kind of mind-boggling to me why these skeptics just, you know, they keep doing what they're doing. It's like I've said again, and I know you've said it time and again, too, how stupid do they think we are? How stupid do they think that the folks, those of us that are interested in UFOs, that have had UFO contacts or been abductees or anything, who do they really think they're fooling? They're not fooling anybody.
Look, that scientist made that point, and I thought it was an excellent point the way he made it.
Yes.
You can hoax a doctor. Does that mean that medicine is a hoax, that it's bunk? No. The whole thing proved nothing. However, it did. They said that it was a social experiment to see how gullible people are. Okay, I would say that those who were talked into doing this social experiment are pretty gullible themselves, and they've gotten themselves into a real stew here because, you know, I'm not going away. And if they wish to come on this show and answer these questions, the invitation is still open. I want to see and hear and know the answers to these questions. And principally, if they say that you can do this without dropping slag out of a flare and without burning the fishing line, I want them to do it in front of a TV crew and let the TV crew film it from start to finish. Now, if it can be done, fine. Let's just see it.
Well, I think the thing is, Kevin, it's two things actually, really, I believe. Number one, they are, it's kind of like a pathological liar. That person tells a lie and then keeps compounding and compounding and compounding it. So after a while, they believe their own lie. So I think in this case, I think that these skeptics or whatever you want to call them have just told the same things over and over and over and over again, that they actually believe what they're saying is true, number one. And number two, because of that, maybe deep inside where their hopefully slight intelligence lies, they're not going to answer your challenge because they're going to be shown that, number one, they don't know what they're talking about, and number two, they're spouting a lot of stuff that isn't true.
Well, that may be. I think even let's assume for a moment that the whole story that they've put out is true. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's assume that. And I don't assume that it's untrue. Okay, let's assume it's true. Let's assume that everything in that video is genuine. They don't have any evidence to back up that it's genuine, but let's assume that it is. The problem that they now face is that they have foisted upon the public the same shoddy, bad evidence that they accuse the UFO community of using.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really have no platform to stand on, no platform from which to speak. They have blown a hole in the bottom of their boat here.
That's very true. But it's been my experience that folks who like to hear themselves talk are usually the first ones that are going to back down when a challenge that comes up to them basically challenges what they have to say. They're going to be the first ones to say, well, I have no comment. I don't want to talk about it anymore. The subject is closed. The matter is closed. And you're going to find that a lot with those kinds of people. So usually what I say to them is, well, you know, you can believe what you believe, but I know what I believe, and what I believe is the truth to me, and that's how I usually leave it.
Yeah. Now, they can say no comment, the matter is closed. They can say that. However, they put this out in public. It now belongs to the public, and is closed when the public says so.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. All right, folks, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And if you need to call me toll-free, you can do so at 888-223-4599. And I'm just, you know, how does this strike you? It amazed me when I saw all of the responses that, I mean, when this story broke, people started emailing me. People sent me links to the videos. People sent me links to the stories, the news stories. And, you know, it was pretty interesting, the comments that people had about this story. And the comments that I was getting in email indicated to me that most of the people emailing me were buying the story based on that evidence. But when I saw the evidence, and by the way, I am trained to look at evidence, doesn't mean I'm perfect. I have made mistakes. I do make mistakes. But my question, as someone who's trained to look at the evidence, my question is, how could you put that evidence out in public? I mean, that's some of the worst evidence I've ever seen. When you apply the standards to it, it's just some of the worst evidence I've ever seen. But, you know, I was amazed by how many, even of our listeners, and you people are astute, you people are thinkers, but you were willing to buy wholesale what the news media was putting out. And I'm going to give the news media a little bit of slack here because, you know, they didn't originate the story. They're reporting the story. I'm not going to give them much slack because why didn't they ask these questions? But, I saw that you were giving the news, are giving this, you know, I missed another call. I'm going to have to get one of those lights that flashes over here, a big one, okay? And we'll put that on the list and we'll get one of those. But, you know, you were willing to give the news media credence for this. And, I mean, you were buying their story with very, very serious questions that haven't been answered and that need to be answered. And I'm not scolding you for that. I'm saying I saw that developing. I saw that happening. That's why I went after this. Because when I saw the videos the first time, when I first got those emails with the links in it and I saw the videos, immediately upon seeing the videos, I said, what? Hogwash. That's not evidence. That is weak. That's nothing. That's like boiling a cup of water and then telling someone it's tea. I mean, it was just nothing. All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okie dokie. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Let's go to our flash messages. We've got several of them in, and let's see, the first one this one's in the United Kingdom, and it says, I don't understand this, Richard. It says, Kevin, was it no comment? I think he's asking, was there response, no comment? No, the response to all of those questions, let's see if I can see which page it's on here. The response to all of those questions was this. The response to all of those questions was that the skeptic quoted the scientist's email, one line, did not address any of the questions, quoted one line and said, how would you go about doing that? Doesn't even acknowledge the questions were asked. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Max, if that's what they call me, and I'm ringing you from Australia.
Outstanding.
But I can barely hear you.
Well, I've got it turned up as loud as I can get it. We must have a bad connection.
I mean your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, your question or your comment?
Well, a lot of this stuff just that people do, these so-called these hoaxes and the rest of this stuff, it ticks me off personally, and I'll tell you why. My uncle was the civilian photographer that the Army called out in 1947 out of Roswell.
Oh?
And now I live in Australia now, but I'm originally from Roswell. And I grew up knowing the stories and hearing the stories and the rest of the stuff with an uncle who was a very honorable man. And what I see is that people who are pulling off these hoaxes are doing serious, serious damage to the credibility of people who know the facts or have had access to the facts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but let me sort of give you my perspective on that. I don't think they're doing any damage to anybody's credibility but their own. I think they are trying to damage the credibility of serious UFO investigators and researchers. They're trying. But,
yes, they are. But every time they do something like this, it makes the next credible evidence more people. It takes longer to establish the credibility of the next real thing that happens. I'm having a hard time finding a way.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, but you're right. You're right. With the exception of this. They've reached the end of their road getting a free ride on this stuff because, you know, I'm out here calling their hand on it, and there are others who are doing the same, and this is going to catch fire. Look, if you want to use these standards for UFO evidence, fine, we're going to use these standards for your hoax evidence. And it's fair. It's fair. And when we do, we see that a lot of their so-called evidence is just not evidence.
No, of course it's not. Of course it's not. Most of it is shoddy enough to be able to be exposed almost immediately, except for the fact that there's too many gullible people out there. I mean, you know, you witness that every single day. People are gullible to, certain people. Fat people that smoke cigars, if you get my drift.
Okay, let me ask you a question, a couple of questions. Did you ever see any of the photographs that your uncle took in 1947?
No, I did not, and no one else did, because after he took the photographs and developed them for the Army, he turned over the photographs and the negatives, but overnight the darkroom was trashed. His daughter-in-law is his spokesperson over in Roswell, and you can go to the UFO conventions and stuff, and she always talks, but not that she wants to. She's the spokesperson for the family.
Mm-hmm.
I've been not in contact with any member of the family and haven't been for years. One of the things about choosing to leave the United States and move to another country, one of the consequences is if your family happen to be all Republicans, you suddenly become a traitor.
Well, listen, I know how hard it is to stay in touch, too. I live here in the United States. My home is in Thailand, and that's where my wife and my little boys and my dog, a car, a motorcycle, everything's there.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, very tough. And we're not separated because we want to be separated. We're separated because we have to be separated at the moment. Yeah, it's tough. All right, here's another question. What part of Australia are you in?
I'm in the westernmost point of Australia, a little town called Carnarvon.
Okay.
And it's about 600 miles from the nearest city.
It's
and
out there.
And I run a, you, yeah, ask Mr. Dewberry. He'll tell you who I am.
Okay.
I'm a volunteer music promoter for independent artists, Australian and New Zealand independent artists.
Oh, well, now you see you need to send some of that in to Steel Eye Media Network because we play only independent artists.
I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Oh, I said you need to send some of that music to Steel Eye Media Network because...
Oh, I've been doing so.
Good.
Have been doing so. Dude just did a show where we had Graham Greene and Jack Dalton in the chat rooms. And he was playing their music. I'm sending them over, darling. I really am. As fast as I can.
Okay, one final question. How are you listening to us? How do you listen to the Kevin Smith Show?
I popped into Dewberry Jam Community Radio and turned on their listen link, and there you were.
Outstanding. Well, see, we're here every night, Monday through Friday. So be sure
well,
you...
for me, it's, by the way, just so that you know, it's 11:19 on Friday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you pop in and listen to us some more, okay?
Sorry?
Pop in and listen to us again.
Oh, I will be listening. Whether I ring or not, I don't know. This connection is absolutely... I can barely hear you.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for the call.
No worries. By the way, let me tell you one more thing about what my uncle said.
Okay.
When anybody asked him what happened, I do believe personally that the government made sure that he kept his mouth shut. His simple reply would be, they killed it. And when asked, do you mean they killed the story, he would say, no. And that's all he would ever say.
Ooh, now that's interesting. Listen, send me an email with information of how I can get in touch with the family spokesperson.
Very easy. Rodden Studio over in Roswell.
R-O-D-E-N?
R-O-D-D-E-N. They're still in the photography business.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can you spell it again? R-O-D-D?
Uh-huh. E-N.
Got it. All right. Max, thanks for the call.
You have a good one.
All right. Wow. Oh, that's one of the joys of doing this show. You never know what you're going to run across. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Or if you need to call the toll-free number, it is toll-free throughout the United States and Canada. The telephone number toll-free is 888-223-4599. 99. We have a flash message from Zimbabwe. It says, hi, Kevin. Okay. I won't read that one. All right. Now, I'm getting a few messages wanting to know if this photo is my wife. Yes, it is. That is Mrs. Smith. And that is our youngest son. And he has not seen me since he was 2 years old. I was at his second birthday. And I've not been able to return since then. And not because I want it that way. It's just that way. And so he's getting to watch. He's getting to watch Daddy work. I wanted him to see that Daddy's watching him, too, so that's why that's up there. And, yes, that is Mrs. Smith. This whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, with the non-response is a little bit disgusting from my point of view. What do you think? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Richard Lenny from the United Kingdom.
Hi, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
Outstanding, sir.
Good, good. I did try earlier, but I got cut off, so I thought I'd give it one more try.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's about what you were discussing tonight about the hoaxes.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering whether they may have got paid off to say that story, because perhaps the UFOs that people saw, I think quite a few people saw that particular display, and they must have decided to try and cover it up somehow. And I'm just wondering if they got these guys to, you know, tell this story. Maybe they paid them a few thousand dollars, and they must have thought it was worth all the trouble. What do you think? Do you think maybe that could be the case?
Well, you know, I often say that in the absence of evidence, all speculation is on the table. And
yeah.
That certainly could be a plausible scenario. And, you know, I just don't know. And here's what I do know. I do know there are very solid questions that are raised by the evidence that they offered up. And so far, everyone involved seems to be either unable or unwilling to answer the questions, or to even acknowledge that the questions are being asked.
Right.
I think that's pretty suspicious.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? You think this, I mean, you personally, do you think this is a situation where they were paid to do this?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think where this case is, where a lot of people have seen these flying saucers, UFOs, whatever you like to call them, and they've been hovering there for quite some time. I think they think, you know, hang on a minute, we better get some guys to say they did this, because you know, we've got a lot of witnesses here, and you know, they obviously don't want too many people snooping around and perhaps taking the story further. So they got these guys to do what they do.
Well, and they counted on the news media all being mindless, and it's virtually 100%. But there are a few of us that do ask questions, and I, you know, like I said, I'm not going away. These questions are not going away. The issue's not going away, and I don't buy the evidence until I get answers here.
Yeah, until it's in black and white.
That's right. Listen, what part of the UK are you in?
A little place called Weston-super-Mare. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No. Where is that?
Burnt down recently, so I don't know if you saw that on the news.
Where is that? Sort of give us an idea where that is.
Yeah, sure. It's about 30 miles from Bristol.
Okay.
130 miles from London, so...
All right, so it's in the south.
Yes, in the south. Yeah, we're near. We're sort of like 80, 90 miles away from Devon. So yeah, that end of the country.
Beautiful part of the country, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, and it's 4:30 here in the morning. But I do like to stay up when I'm on holiday to listen to you. It's very, very interesting.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. How do you listen? Are you listening via computer?
Yeah, I'm on my laptop.
Uh huh.
So,
all right.
Yeah, I'm watching you as well.
Fantastic. All right, Richard, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
No problem at all. I hope to speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.
All right. From the UK. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. The telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. And, of course, if you are outside of the United States or outside of Canada, those telephone numbers work, but they're not toll-free. The toll-free number works in the USA and Canada. so you can call me toll-free. If you are outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, just go to my website, scroll down, and take a look underneath the little blurb about tonight's show, and you'll see a link that says Flash Message. Use that, send me a flash message, and I'll read it and comment on the air, answer your question, or address your comment. I think you can see, you know, we've... I did two shows last week where I took apart the evidence. And I did so using the standards that are normally applied to UFO reports and UFO investigations. I also then presented my case that this, I'm not saying this is a disinformation operation. I'm saying it has all the fingerprints of one. It has the aroma. And, you know, you don't have to be standing in the kitchen looking into the pot that's boiling to know if cabbage is cooking. You can smell it all over the house. And this thing smells. And the reason it smells is because of these unanswered questions. And I did two shows on that. Now, there have been articles written and people, comments flying around about what a nut I am. And that's fine. That's fine. I absolutely don't lose sleep over that. Believe, I've been in this too long to lose sleep over that. Before that, I was a cop. And I was an international police officer. And before that, I was a city police officer. And before that, I was a deputy sheriff. And, you know, I've had people say things about me all my career. So that doesn't bother me. Answer the questions. Just answer the questions. That's all I ask. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. Kevin, I think these guys were probably used by somebody after the fact. I think the part that's real fishy to me is that one of them is a science teacher. And it seems like to me a science teacher would have been smart enough to know that fishing line holding these flares is going to melt. I mean, that's just common sense. They burn at about 1,000-something degrees, I think. And
yes, about 1,400 degrees.
Upside down and 10 inches away from the flame, the heat's going to rise and melt that fishing line fairly quickly.
Absolutely. Now, when I said absolutely, let me back up and say this.
Okay.
Maybe there is a way to do it that I'm not aware of. And all I'm asking is if they use some way that I'm not aware of, that nobody else seems to be aware of, they found some way to keep that fishing line from burning or melting, show us. That's all I ask. Show us.
I can think of a way to do it. It's very simple to do, and that's put a metal fishing leader on it and connect that to the fusing.
Yeah, but you know what? The problem is their video shows them wrapping monofilament line around the fusee or flare and then taking duct tape and wrapping it around that to keep it on there. Well, see, there's nothing deflecting heat from rising directly up onto that line. You don't have to have the flame on that line. That's the point.
Yeah, the heat's going to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were used after the fact just to, I don't know if it was disinformation or what, but I think the sighting happened and somebody came along and told them, hey, let's take credit for this, or why don't you guys take credit for this, and I think that's where the other video came from.
Well, it could be, and I still, in journalistic fairness, I'm going to have to say, that's not my position. I don't have a position except that the evidence doesn't wash.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's not. Now, what do you think about this thing? We had a scientist. He's probably listening to the show tonight. So what do you think? He writes to them. He lays out these questions as a scientist, lays out these questions, and they don't even acknowledge that he asked the questions.
I know. That tells me that they're not willing to put their information on the same set of scales they force UFO believers to put their information on. They use a different set of scales or something.
They tried.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make it sound like I'm the Lone Ranger out here. I'm not.
You're not.
But as long as I am out here, that's not going to wash.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah, and there are others raising these questions now, as they should.
I think there's getting to be more believers than there are unbelievers. So maybe the tide's turning in our direction.
Well, the evidence is certainly, the preponderance of the evidence is certainly on the side of the reality of
Absolutely.
UFOs.
It's just a matter of getting people past that knee-jerk laughing when you first talk about it to get them to look at the evidence. If they'll just look at it, they'll be overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to realize when they're laughing, you called it that knee-jerk laughter, when they laugh, they're laughing at NASA, who films them. I've showed some of the films right here, and I don't know if you saw last week when I showed.
Oh, yes.
And I said, now you see, the commentator from NASA tries to install a cover story, and the astronaut blows the cover story. And says, no, those are not reflections. Those are real objects. There are three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everything goes dead. You don't hear
it. Yeah. And so, the deal is that they need to realize they're laughing at NASA. They're laughing at the U.S. Air Force that sends scrambles planes to go chase these things.
Yep.
You know, they're laughing at the U.S. Air Force that has videotaped these things, and we have some of the videos available to us. They filmed them or videotaped them with their gun cameras.
The first guy killed, Mantell, it was killed flying, trying to chase a UFO here in Kentucky, and he's probably not 50 miles from my house where he crashed.
Yeah. Yeah, and very, very strange damage to the metal of that airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, listen, thanks for the call.
Okay, you convinced me I'm going to Thailand. Your wife's beautiful and your child is too.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Some of the emails I haven't read are comments about my wife. but look, here's the deal. I never married ugly.
Why, no. You did very well.
Well, thank you. But I'll tell you, she's not as young as she looks. She looks a lot younger than she is. How old do you think she is looking at the picture?
30.
Well, you got 30. It. She's 30. Yeah.
Yeah, she's 30.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, Ratana. That's her name, Ratana. She's watching still. See, got guys around the world. Think you're very pretty. I concur. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Telephone number is, the toll-free telephone number is 888-223-4599. What is your impression? We've got time left in this show, and I still want to hear from you. What is your impression of this? I'm not asking you, do you think the hoax was real or not real? What I'm asking is, what do you think about this situation? We have a scientist from a major university that addresses the questions I brought up on this show to the people involved in the hoax here. and they don't even acknowledge that he asked the questions. They don't even acknowledge that he asked the questions. What does that say to you? Do you think, and look, if you, in the beginning, if you bought the media stories just outright, maybe you still do, maybe you still buy the media stories on this, but if you did, and if you have now sort of stepped back and you're saying, well, that is curious. There may be something to this. Maybe that Kevin Smith guy is not as nutty as I thought. Maybe, or maybe he is as nutty as I thought, but they're still good questions. They're still good questions. You've kind of backed up and taken a look at that. I'm interested in knowing what you think about this fact right here that we're talking about tonight. These guys didn't even acknowledge that the questions had been addressed to them. What does that say to you? What do you take away from that? Now, there's only one way for us to know, and that is for you to call us and tell us what you think. I get emails from people who say, oh, I'm afraid to talk on the phone. Oh, nonsense. Nonsense. Grow up. You talk on the phone. You call your mother on the phone, or you are your sister or your cousin or your next-door neighbor. Or, you know, you talk on the phone. I'm just another voice on the phone. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. I want to underscore again the fact that I'm not saying that these guys didn't hoax this. I'm not saying that the hoax is a hoax. I am questioning it, but I'm not saying that the hoax is a hoax. And I'm not saying that it is a disinformation operation. I'm saying it has the aroma of disinformation. And it does. It has the earmarks. It's got the aroma of disinformation. And I am saying for sure that the evidence offered does not meet minimum standards. But how does it strike you that a scientist has written to them, addressed the questions to them that we asked here on the air, and they didn't even acknowledge that he asked the questions? They just picked something else to talk about. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, I don't think these guys acknowledge the questions the scientists asked simply for a reason. If they did, they would give credence to the story being real or.
Okay, that's a good point. But, Don, we have to take a break. Hang on. I want us to get into that point when we come back from the break, so don't go away. We'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have Don on the line. Don, you were saying they didn't answer, did not acknowledge the questions were asked because it would give credence to the story that I'm talking, that I'm putting out.
Okay. A point I guess I'm trying to make is skeptics got a pretty well a blanket statement of thought on this, even if it was disinformation by black ops operation to discourage disinformation. I'm sorry, I'm getting feedback.
Yeah, you say that every time you call, and it'll always be that way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I don't know if you're trying to say something or what. That's why. Anyways, I think they're just trying to... I'm sorry, I'm having trouble here.
Okie dokie. I understand where you're headed. Thanks for the call, Don. Yeah, some folks' phone lines just have that problem. There's nothing I can do about it. Let me check very quickly. No flash messages. Okay. Well, look, what Don was trying to get across is that if they even acknowledge that these questions are being asked, it gives credence to the asking of the questions. You may as well, because there's not less credence simply because they don't acknowledge. There's not less credence to what I'm asking. What I'm asking has its own feet, it's got its own legs, and it's not going away. And all I'm saying is, if you're telling the truth, if this is all true, your evidence doesn't support it. So let's get answers to why your evidence doesn't support it. Let's get answers to why your evidence is so weak. And, you know, it's... Haven't you ever seen in a presidential or a White House news conference, and the press secretary standing up there, and reporters will ask something that's particularly thorny, and there's a lot of tension about it, and, you know, the press secretary will often say something like, "We're aware of that story. We don't think it's got... Any credibility." And next question. They at least acknowledge that the question was asked. Now, this is excessively sloppy handling of the situation by not even acknowledging that the questions were asked. That's excessively sloppy handling of the situation. And whether it is a run for cover exercise or not, it gives that appearance. I didn't make them not acknowledge that the questions were asked. That was done all on their own. And that gives the appearance of running for cover. That's the ball's in their court. That's their action. Okay? Now, again, I'm not saying that they are running for cover. I am saying they gave the appearance of running for cover. That is a fact. If they think that by not even acknowledging the questions, that it's all just going to go away, they're wrong. They are wrong. They have become the story, not the hoax. They and their purported evidence have become the story. And it's all 100% their doing. They assumed that 100% of the people in America are just gullible. Well, I'm not. Anybody can get fooled. Anybody can be tricked. UFO investigators, paranormal investigators, doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. Anybody can get fooled. So their experiment proved absolutely nothing. But they have put it out on the table and said to the public, we did it, here's what we did, here's how we did it. And none of the evidence to back up their claim backs up their claim. It doesn't stand the test of the standards that are applied either for court or standards that are applied to UFO investigations. So I don't know. I think that what we're looking at is probably what it appears to be. But, I mean, that's all I could possibly surmise based on their own actions and words and shoddy evidence. Now, well, let me change the subject just a little bit because we're almost out of time. And let me talk to you about something that's very, very, very important. We've got people listening to this show all around the world and a growing number every night. And it's been growing for 9 years, almost 9 years, be 9 years next month. And It is phenomenal what this show has, what you have made this show to become. And it's very important that we be able to continue doing what we're doing. As you know, there is an economic crisis worldwide. It is particularly intense in the United States, and not only here, but it is intense here. And what we have seen is we've seen our subscriptions begin to dwindle as people have become, they've lost their jobs and they're not able to keep their subscriptions up. And we're down to about a third of the revenue we need to pay the bills. So we're sitting here this week with a third of what we have to have this week. Not everyone has been hit by the crunch, by the economic crunch. Not everyone. And if you haven't been, and or if you have, but you're still doing pretty well, and if you like the show, we need your help. We had gotten to a point where we were pretty much able to pay the bills and keep it running. And then this crunch hit. And we've watched, ever since it started, we've watched as the monthly subscriptions have just nosedived. Well, they didn't nosedive. They've been on a slide, on a decline. And I get emails from people saying, look, I'm sorry, I love being a member, I love what I get there, but, you know, I have to make choices here. And I've lost my job, and as soon as I'm back on my feet, I intend to join again. I fully understand that. Believe me, I do. But for those of you who are blessed and are able to help, we need your help. I don't want this to sound like begging, and I'm not begging. You know, if you want us to do what we do, we have to pay the bills. And if we can't, then we can't. And, you know, I believe that everything happens in its own time. Everything happens for a reason. And, you know, if you can, we need your help. And the way you do that is you go over to kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says donate, and do what you can. Some people have already been helping. We've gotten donations from recently from, $5 and up. I mean, if it's a buck, we can use it. If it's $100, we can use it. Whatever you're capable of doing, we can help. I mean, we can use your help. We need your help. Okay. It's been fun. It has when I got this today, I laughed and laughed and laughed when I read that response, because it's a non-response. It's been fun, and we have more coming. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.